serves a lot of people. Take off, amen. I don't know why y'all do that. There's a time you need to be in the house of the Lord is when you're hurting, when you're grieving, when you're depressed. I don't know how you're going to get help in the bed. Amen. All of us need rest. Lord knows I do. Amen. I try to take a nap every day. Encouragement. Amen. You're not going to get that in your bed and in your living room. But you need to come into the house of the Lord. Amen. And I'm so proud to see them here this Sunday morning. You know this scripture. Many of you know the scripture. Probably some of you, like I have, kept your frames with this scripture on it in your house. Amen. Some of you have this scripture somewhere around your house, hanging on the wall or at your job. Amen. And you know that Jeremiah tells us in the New International Version, for I know the plans I have. To prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Let's do it one more time. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Let's talk about fix for the future today. Amen. Let's talk about fix for the future. On Jeremiah was a PK. If you don't know what a PK is, that is a preacher's kid. There are certain stereotypes that go with being a PK. But we rebuke them all in the name of Jesus. I say we rebuke all the negative stereotypes of being a PK in the name of Jesus. Let me say that one more time. I only got two kids, but I'm going to say that for somebody else's kid. We rebuke all the negative stereotypes of being a PK in the name of Jesus. He was a priest's son. Father was a priest in the tribe of Benjamin, and therefore he was raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. He knew the history of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and what he had done, what Yahweh rather had done in the life history of his people. Because he was a PK, he didn't have no choice but to go to the Sabbath. On Saturday morning, as the Jewish faith does, as a priest's kid, as a preacher's kid, as a PK, he didn't have no choice but to be in the temple all the time. And he overheard every conversation that his father had. He saw all the rituals that his father did. And when you are a PK, you pay attention. And it's for that reason my PK, mother's not doing well this morning, went to his mother last night and laid hands on his mother because he's watched his father every time he has been sick lay hands on him. Our children don't always do what we say, but they always do what we do. They don't always do what we say, but they always do what you do. If you get mad, they get mad. If you cuss, they cuss. If you stick up your middle finger at the car and just passed you by, they stick up the finger. If you don't respect their teacher, they ain't gonna respect their teacher. the children start acting like you. It was the form. Somebody else, daddy, not my daddy, because he here. Jeremiah was born in a small village by the name of Anatot. Anatot was a few miles northeast. Everybody say northeast. Northeast of Jerusalem. And he realized early on in God's life, not only because he was the son of a preacher, but he realized early on in life that men reap what they sow. And just like his father, he got the call to not only preach, but to prophesy. And he is one of the greatest prophets that we know of. And he's one of what we call the major prophets of the Bible. Jeremiah prophesied and preached and he taught and he gave warning as a prophet did in this age. He gave warning to the people of both only Israel, the northern kingdom, and the southern kingdom of Judah. And he warned them that because of their disobedience, because they had done everything that Yahweh asked them not to do, like making deals and making treaties with other countries and wanting to have a king and not following the rules and the tenets of the faith, that the wrath of God was on the way. And the wrath of God would come with the destruction, and not only of Israel, which came forth with the Assyrian deportation, but it also fall upon the southern kingdom of Judah with the Babylonian deportation. And it is Jeremiah that was preaching and teaching around 586 B.C. when Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army took over Judah. It was Jeremiah who was preaching and teaching when the southern tribe fell the same fate as the northern tribes. And Nebuchadnezzar began to not only sack Judah, but he also destroyed Solomon's temple that is found in Jerusalem, who at that time was in the southern kingdom of just two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Again, northern tribe had 10 of the Israelite tribes, but the southern tribes of in Judah and Benjamin composed only the southern kingdom, but the capital of the kingdom, really the capital of Israel, was housed in the southern kingdom, being Jerusalem, the city of David. And after the Assyrian deportation, we find around 586, and for 11 years, three different deportations of the children of Israel from the southern kingdom to Babylon, which is present-day Iraq. Over the course of 11 years, we see three systematic deportations of the children of Israel from the southern tribes of Judah to Babylon, which is in present-day Iraq. Over 11 years, 11, the number of chaos, the number of confusion. That is why 9-11 happens on 9-11. That's why Afghanistan has 11 numbers in it, rather 11 letters in it. New York City has 11 letters in it, 11. The two towers look like the number. It is the number of confusion and chaos. And over a period of 11 years of chaos and confusion, they are systematically extracted from their homelands and taken to Babylon, which is present-day Iraq. But the interesting thing about it is that he did not take, and Nebuchadnezzar and the people of Babylon didn't take everybody. If you have read your Bible and you read it carefully, you know that he only took the scholars. He only took Dr. Green, the educators. He only took Dr. Reed, the scientists, and the medical doctors. He only took Dad, the attorneys. He only took the people that had skill. Because he wanted them to create a system of learning and a system of education and a system of technology and innovation in Babylon, because Babylon was desolate of people who had that type of skill and mindset. He only took the brightest and the best. And that's why I know that many of us are fixed for our future. And you want to know sometimes why you feel in exile, why you feel all alone, why you feel depressed, why you feel like the world has got the boots on your neck? It's because you're skilled.
And this ain't no mumbo jumbo to make you feel better, but you understand that to that much is given, much is required of. And so he only takes those persons who are skilled and who have intellect, Dr. Parker, because there was none where they were. That's the practical, but it's also the theological. The practical is the fact that the reason why they are in this predicament is because they skilled and intelligent, and have knowledge. That's why I enjoy pastoring an intelligent, pseudo-sophisticated, bougie congregation. That's the practical. Whole lot of us up in here. Got more degrees than a thermometer. Got houses and land. Not a Lexus, but Lexi. That's the plural of Lexus. Many of us have done real good for ourselves. And I have to remind my bougie country self that sometimes y'all be quiet because y'all be listening. Now, I had a word for the person who don't allow y'all to listen, but she ain't show up this morning, so y'all could listen. And you can tell I said it, too. Ain't God a wonder? Ain't God a wonder? But I know y'all be listening because you're intelligent and you want to know and you want to think. And so sometimes I have to remind myself of that, because I want y'all to talk back to me, but skilled people got to think. Skilled people sometimes need a little quiet and solitude so they can be reflective and meditative. Amen. All right, enough of that quiet mess. Talk to me, somebody. And so that's the practical, that they are in pain, they're in despair, and then false prophets have told them that their time in Babylon won't be long. Including Ezekiel, who told them that their time in Babylon won't be long, so don't worry about it, everything's going to be all right. And so Jeremiah has to come back and fix the false prophets and tell them, no, it's going to be at least 70 years. It's going to be at least 7, which is the number of God's numbers, the number of perfection, and 10, the number of completion. In other words, y'all going to be there for perfect completion. I'm preaching to my own self. I talk back to myself sometimes. Hey, Chris, how you doing? I'm doing good. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're going to be there at least 70 years for perfect completion. And because you're going to be there for at least 3 generations, might as well get married. Might as well buy some homes. Might as well have children. Might as well find yourself a good place to stay and worship the Lord. Matter of fact, start learning how to sing a new song in a strange land. It ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be fine. It ain't going to happen quick. It ain't going to happen overnight. You're going to be there for a while. But because you got skills. Somebody can feel me today. Because you got intellect. Because you know what God has already done for us. You are fixed for your future because God has already prepared you for bad time. Ain't nobody want to talk. You want to listen, right? And that's fine. The realism is that you're in despair. The realism is that you're having tough times. And the realism of life is that everybody is going to go through some pain. Everybody's going to go through some frustration. Everybody's going to find themselves exiled in their own mind. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what the lawyer says, no matter what the judge says, no matter what the cop says, no matter what your boss says, you are already
United States of America. That is the realism. And even those Ezekiel and others who are always being optimistic, sometimes you just got to be realistic. Sometimes you just got to tell somebody, I'm catching hell right now. Stop telling people all the time and not I'm blessed and how I feel. Tell them I am one check away from losing my house. I am going through hell right now. God's hoping won't die on me. My child is crazy.
See their homeland again. But the optimism is trouble don't last. Always. And better than that, God has a plan. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So Jeremiah situation. But Jeremiah also says that you're going to be there a while. But while you're there, remember the Psalms of Zion. Remember how far we've come as a people. And this ain't the first Nebuchadnezzar we've had as our president. This ain't the first time we've been through trials and tribulations. This ain't the first time that our sons and our, even a few daughters have been lynched on the streets of America. We done been through this before. Is now that you see it every day and every moment because you're looking at your phones too much. And then after a few years, Nebuchadnezzar comes back. You keep reading the book of Jeremiah, you'll find out that the leaders who are still there in Judah decided that they weren't going to be part of the last deportation. Some of the political and military figures decided that they were going to leave and take the remnant. Somebody say the remnant. They won't take them that left. I think I talked about that either last Sunday or Sunday before, that God always leaves a witness. God always leaves a remnant so that there might be a witness. And they take the remnant back to Egypt. And Jeremiah tells them, you all are making a huge mistake. Matter of fact, if we go to Egypt, we are going to die just like our ancestors in Egypt. We need to stay right here and wait on the Lord. If our ancestors waited for 400 years, if our ancestors waited for 249 years of Negro child slavery, why are you going to move to Canada? Stop marching and start voting, we can get some things changed in our world. If we stop tweeting and start voting, we can get some change in our world. If we stop posting and start voting, then we can make a change in this world. If you're tired of Nebuchadnezzar running the country, then get out to vote. He said, we ain't making a big mistake by leaving our home and our country. But then he's part of deportation. They realize that Jeremiah got good sense. And everything he's already warned us has come to pass. Even though we ain't followed his wisdom, we're going to take him with us. Oh, I wish somebody could feel that in their spirit right now. They know more than I know, and they just the administrative assistant.
And as a matter of fact, I get really all the credit for their hard work. And so when we leave, we take in Jeremiah with us because he is connected to a source we ain't connected with. And even though he don't want to go, he has to go. And watch this. They take him with them to Egypt. And Jeremiah says, again, we're making a big mistake. We need to stay right here and wait on God. Because if we go to Egypt, we're going to die. And you know what happened? They go to Egypt and they die. But that's not how participation of a male, that the Holy Ghost would come upon her. And she agreed to be a vessel for God. You know the story, she became impregnated. Because the nation was called to be counted, to find themselves going back to her husband. Themselves traveling to Bethlehem. Maybe you were induced. Maybe you decided the day and the time of the birth of your child. But in first century Palestine, no child was born on schedule. No mother could plan the date and time of birth. So she is betrothed. She is pregnant. Her feet are swollen. Her ankles are swelling, but she's walking. And something happens while she is walking. Her water breaks, and pain begins to shoot up her spine. There is no Dr. Parker to give her any anesthesiology. There's no OBGYN tech to give her an epidural. And her husband, who don't know what to do either. And nobody tells him to go get a pot of hot water. Ain't nobody figure out yet why. Y'all tell the husband, and the midwife told the husband, and use it just to get him out the room. I rebuke you all in the name of Jesus. And her husband tries to find Scotty a comfortable place. And nobody, as this record says, would give them a room in any comfortable inn. Only place they could find is a barn in the back street of Bethlehem. You know the story. Our Savior was born in dirt, born in filth, wrapped is so weak. That is so weak. If life began in Ethiopia, the southern country geographically of Egypt, where the second largest concentration of Jews in the world are in Ethiopia. You don't hear about the black Jews because nobody wants to tell you about the black Jews. They only want to show you the light-skinned Jews who do jewelry. But the second largest concentration of Jews in the world are in Ethiopia. And you might ask yourself, that's a big old word for y'all educated people. How genotypically, if they spent 400 years as concubines to the Africans, why do they look like they look right now? And it's because of the deportations, because they didn't spend time in their homeland, because of the various exiles, and many of them were quarantined and went north up into what's called the Caucasus Mountains, where we get the term Caucasian from. Now, this has been going over 2,000 years. We have run along that almost 2,500 years, because that's when the first deportations were. So over 2,500 years, they were no longer mixing with Africans. They were mixing with Europeans. And so the ones you see on CNN are the ones who have mixed with the Europeans, not the ones who have mixed. But you can't hide your curly hair. You can't hide your thick lips. You can't hide your broad nose either, Mr. Juryman. So they immigrate to Egypt. A stepfather, a mother, and her baby. Catch this. They immigrate to Egypt. A stepfather, a mother, and their baby. They immigrate to Egypt. A stepfather. Palestine and Egypt. Ain't you glad there was no concentration camp for children who were crossing the border? I kind of want to know what Bible some of these conservatives read. Because nothing in the Bible teaches us anything they believe. And politically support. I don't understand these evangelicals who can say and come out of their mouth, we need to not hold him accountable for at least he did not rape her. He stopped. But the Bible says what you have thought with your eyes, you might as well have done it because you've already thought about it in your heart. What Bible are they reading? When Jesus said, suffer the little children that come unto me because theirs is likened unto the kingdom of heaven. What Bible are they reading when Jesus himself was an immigrant who had to cross over to another nation so that he could live and be free and so he would not be killed? What Bible are you reading? What Bible tells you kill innocent people on the streets of America? What Bible tells you that he corrected an